This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
My line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Force has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult to propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. Today is, Friday, April 5th, I believe it is. Boy, my days are way off, man. I'm telling you, this week has been really weird. It's been ongoing. I think it's because of the whole Holy Week thing has been occurring, and the energy level around has been all kinds of weird.
It's an odd energy. A lot of people worshiping things that they really shouldn't be worshiping, I think, during this time of the year. A little
Absolutely.
Bit of ignorance.
You got it. And for those of you who don't know, that voice that you're hearing right there is Ryan Gable. He is the host of The Secret Teachings, which appears on, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. on Late Night in the Midlands. And you're a couple of places else as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're on Planet Paranormal, K98 Talk, a bunch of other networks online. We also air on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on L&M as well.
That's right. You're starting doing that as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to doing the 5 days a week. There's really so much, you know, that happens in the news, and there's so many different stories that go on. This time of the year is very, very busy, because by the time I get done talking about the occult origins of Easter, I've got the Beltane Festival in April and then May, and all of the significance with the different dates, and the lot of mass shootings take place during this time of the year. It's a busy, busy time of year for researchers.
It really is, yes. And it's a busy time, people say, like, because of the different changes that are going on, the different energy levels that are around. And there really, I think, is something to that, because I know from my own experience of dealing with the reality that we live in, that when people do a certain amount of concentration on things, when they are, putting energy into something, they are creating something, and that energy really does last. It leaves a footprint on the universal consciousness field, I guess you could say. And well, that really does impact everybody's consciousness.
Well, you're exactly right. I think that, and you and I spoke about this on my show a couple of weeks ago, the occult origins of Easter, or Ostara, one of the eight Sabbats on the witch's calendar, the wheel of the year. What's really important to remember is that if we can understand the reasons in which these days are chosen, or days and times are chosen for certain celebrations, even if nowadays we don't really understand where they came from in terms of, you know, a day such as Easter, or the whole celebration throughout the whole week, Good Friday and the supposed resurrection, you know, we really have this whole world of people who believe in this, that direct their attention toward these deities, towards these symbols, and towards this date. And you can feel the energy whether you're a part of it or not. There are those who take the significance of this time of the year, be it symbolic or literal, in terms of the regeneration of the earth, the mythologies and the stories about the regenerations of the sun, the regenerations of the moon, these cycles inside of cycles. People take that energy and they use it for very nefarious purposes. And I think this time a lot of people would disagree with me probably, but children are used in these massive sacrifices during this time of the year as well. And people do this, whether it's a child or whether it's a teenager, whatever the case may be, not just because they're sick and sadistical and they're twisted and they're mentally ill, but because they know of the importance of these days. They know of the energetic connection and they're able to obtain a certain type of energy through certain rituals. So when people just go to the store and they buy all this Easter stuff and they try to promote Easter, 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 Jesus' resurrection, you got to know, you got to come to God, come to the Lord if you want to be saved, that, you know, the whole thing, Ira, you know, there's just so much energy diverted into a very, very negative place, I think. And the people that are putting all of their energy and their time into the worship of these things don't even know that they're being deceived.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a lot of times, I actually spoke about this on my show last night with Joe, Brothers at Arms. We got onto the topic of like Christians and other religious things like that, because of the restoration or the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that's been going on here in Indiana. We had a big discussion about that last night. And one of the things that I talked about was that most people who are professing to be Christians, for instance, actually are worshiping a false Christ, because they're worshiping the Christ that they have created in their minds. This is their version of Christ, but that's not actually what Christ is, or, you know, what Christ was. And that's not even getting into the idea of whether or not it was actually real or not, you know, just based upon what they're creating, they're worshiping something false. And when they do this, there are entities that are out there that will make use of that type of worship. They will latch on to that energy that's being spread out or cast out by people. So
that's right. It could be very dangerous.
Absolutely. It's very dangerous, I think, indeed.
You know, personally, I think that, you know, this can lead to several different types of possession. One, a type of social possession where, you know, you've really delegated, you know, the way that you think about yourself and the way that you conduct your life to that of listening to what, you know, your local preacher has to say, or to listening to you know, what the one of your friends, the most Christian of all of your friends, what they have to say because they're closer to God. You know, this whole image, it's all fake. And, you know, just on the surface, Ira, like you're saying, just right there on the surface, just from the stories officially that we're told from these religious sects about what they believe in. Well, they might say they believe in it, but they conduct themselves in a way that's completely opposite to what they say that they believe. You know, it's a huge time of the year to discuss a topic like this and to bring light to all of these what I call fake Christians.
Yeah, I truly believe so as well. I don't know what got me on the topic of it last night when we had the discussion, but it was like, you know, I'm feeling kind of, I guess you could say, almost the spirit moving, and needed to get the information out to people, because so many people do fall into exactly that trap. And all of this actually relates to tonight's topic directly, because tonight we plan on talking about the New World Order and the ideas that are associated with it, and the Old World Order and the ideas and the things that are associated with that thing as well.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you messaged me about this, maybe for the listeners, because if I was listening, I'd want to know exactly, what do you mean by the Old World Order as opposed to the New World Order?
To me, the Old World Order is represented by the going back into ancient times, you know, like even back into the Sumerian and Egyptian times, there was this idea of the monarchy, the empire, all of the different things that are associated with that, and how that kind of thing has actually carried over into today's world and today's realm. So you had all of the issues that were surrounding the ancient Roman Empire and how it conducted its business and its daily type of thing, carried over actually into now. And that includes everything from the social order. So, for instance, again, like I said, the monarchy, the dictators or whoever you want to put into that slot, because so many of them fill it very easily, you know?
Yeah.
And also religions and the religious idealism and that sort of thing, all of these things used as a control system under the old world order. And the new world order is something that they're trying to bring about now. A lot of people, I think, associate something different with this new world order, but it's not. And that's kind of the argument that I'm going with in the end.
Well, I'll tell you what, depending on what your actual argument is, I might actually disagree with you just about the aspect of the New World Order. I see the New World Order as something that's not coming, but something that's actually here now.
You got
But okay, well then there we go. I think we're in agreement. But I also think that the New World Order, there's a couple of things. There's one problem with that term, NWO, or the New World Order, the abbreviation, and that is the negative connotation that it has, or the connotation that it has just from pop culture, because it just seems to be, you know, you type in NWO online and you get pictures of the devil and Illuminati and the Masons and
George Bush, you know, with the horns on his head and putting out the whole long horns thing.
Just a bunch of disinformation and a bunch of, you know, really, you know, we can, it's 2015. We can be honest. These people are just idiots, I think. So, you know, they've had their chance. You've given them the benefit of the doubt. The people that promote that just really have no clue. And I feel sorry for some of them. But the New World Order that we experience right now is just an extension of the Old World Order, I think.
It's exactly where I'm going with everything. Yes, how the New World Order versus the Old World Order is actually one and the same. It's just a different package, a different present, you know, but it's all exactly equal inside.
People are still paying for it too.
You got it. Exactly. So before we get to the actual topic tonight, I had one bit of news. Now, normally in this little beginning section, you guys know, my longtime listeners out there know how I kind of do things. Normally I spend about a half hour in this first section dedicated to news that I've discovered over the past few days. I'm going to give you one bit of news, but I'm not going to do this too heavily tonight because I do have Ryan with me and we both tend to talk a lot. So we need as much time as we can get. So, but I wanted to get your take, Ryan, on this news story that I ran across, because this is a topic that both of us have talked about quite a bit on both of our shows. And I know this is something that you've paid a lot of attention to. So I'd really like to get your thoughts on this and the happenings that are with it. So the story is that on Monday, a power surge left thousands without power in Stockton, California, after smart meters on their homes exploded. The power company says that a dump truck crashed near its Alpine substation on Arch Road. When the truck hit the utility pole, the top wire fell onto the bottom wire, creating a power surge, and therefore causing basically over 5,000 of the power meters to go boom.
Wow. What do you think about that, first of all, Ira?
Well, I know that there has been a lot of reports over the years, and becoming more and more prevalent, that these smart meters are very prone to doing exactly this, that they're very dangerous to have on your house.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I know a lot about these, actually. I interviewed Josh Del Sol, who is a researcher and director of a movie called Take Back Your Power. It's a really good documentary about the smart meters and about the ways in which they've been illegally installed. The first thing is, if you don't have a smart meter and you have a regular meter that someone has to come out and read, power companies cannot legally install the meter if you already have service with them without your consent. And if they do, you can legally have the thing removed and refuse payment, and they can't cut off your power. Now, there's in some cases that they'll do it anyway. And of course, you know, you have to go through your local governments to petition the power companies to remove them. And it becomes a whole legal battle and it becomes a big issue. But, you know, we have to stand up and fight these oppressive corporations that think that they can do whatever they want. And you have to stand up and fight it. You can't just hope that they're going to go away and not worry about making that bottom line. That's what it's all about. It's about making money. And it's about control, too. And the money is really the bottom line. That's the end game, is just making as much money as possible. I'm not sure what they plan to do with it, though. What else I know is that I contacted the power company in Central Florida, where I lived in Polk County. If anybody knows what Polk County is, it's a very rural area, and there's not many people that live there. So it's a very small city. It's a very, very small cities, very small local government. I petitioned the government there to remove the fluoride from the water. They actually went as far as claiming that they didn't even add fluoride, even though it was in the water report. And so they refused to even deal with me. But I also petitioned for the power company to remove the smart meter. Now, I spoke with, I don't know, three or four people on the phone from the power company. The first two or three people refused to transfer me and told me that I just didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know enough about the smart meters. So, you know, I asked them if they could inform me. And of course, no, they had no clue either.
Yeah, they're just as dumb as anybody else.
Maybe dumber. They just reading the script. So I finally spoke to a woman and I had a conversation. I don't know why the woman stayed on the phone with me, because the rest of the people just hung up or tried to say they're going to transfer you, and then they just hang up the phone. The woman spoke to me for probably 40, 45 minutes, maybe a little bit shorter. And I asked her all these questions, and basically the conversation boiled down to this. I said, I don't want the smart meter. I know that the things have a proclivity to explode, which maybe is a harsh word, because what they do is they have a proclivity to catch on fire and burn people's houses down. And I said that they emit a type of microwave radiation in little tiny like microbursts. So thousands and thousands of bursts of radioactive frequencies every minute. So what she told me was that, do you have a microwave in your house? And I said, no, I don't. She said, well, if you had a microwave, it would be the equivalent of, you know, microwaving a TV dinner. Now, keep in mind, this is after she told me that I was wrong and that it was incorrect information that the smart meter emits any radioactive frequencies. So
gotta
she tells
love the
me,
doublespeak.
Yeah, she says it doesn't, and then when I push her a little bit, then she says, "Oh yeah, well it does, but it's no different than, you know, microwaving a bag of popcorn." So that's one of the, you know, one thing in itself, and then you tie into that the fact that these smart meters can be accessed very easily by anybody with you know, a little bit of common sense with computers. You can hack into them and you can run your power through them. Police departments can access them. And on top of that, now a lot of companies are using them for time of day usage, is what they call it. And from what I understand, time of day usage means this, Ira. They find when you use the meter the most. So if you're home most of the day, and, you know, you're watching your soap operas between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. and then you go to bed, well, your time of day usage is going to be much higher around noon. So that's when they're going to bill you a higher rate. And the thing is, they consider these smart meters to be, it's in the name, smart. So, you know, you thought you couldn't protest your power company or utility company before. Well, now the smart meters dictate what kind of price you're going to pay. And when these things were first rolled out on the West Coast, Ira, I've seen a couple of stories, and there's a lot of stories in newspaper clippings, as well as personal like interviews in that movie Take Back Your Power, which is a great film. If you haven't seen it, you should try to find a copy online and watch it.
Yeah, I absolutely will. I haven't seen that one myself.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get you a link or a copy to watch it. These people were installed, and people's power bills went up 100% in the first month.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Like there was one story, this guy's power bill went from, you know, three or four, which on average, I think my power bill has always been anywhere between 50 to 200 max. If there was like a water heater leak or something, my power bill is low to nothing. And this guy's power bill, I think, was $300 or $400. And he got his first bill with the smart meter, and it jumped up to over like $2,000, $3,000. And they claim that it must have just been him using more power, because the smart meters can't be wrong. See, we've placed a lot of trust, Ira, in these technologies that are not smart. The simple fact that they have to name them smart makes me call into question the entire program in the first place.
Yes. It's just like the idea of the natural foods or the natural flavorings and that kind of thing.
that's you know what, that's right, that's a whole other thing in and of itself. You know, you have I don't want to take up too much time talking about this, because I know there's other issues at hand, but I think that this topic can lead into the old world and the new world order. There's this underlying theme, if you will, this underlying necessity, it seems, by certain factions of the population to want to dominate and control other parts of the population. So they're always trying to do, you know, whatever they can to obtain as much control as possible. And one of the ways you get control, especially over large portions of the population, is you have to have, you know, information, what people, you know, are doing, you know, who they're doing it with, why they're doing it, what are their likes, what are their dislikes. The more information you have, the more you're able to not only control the present moment and dictate what people do, what choices they make, what products they buy. You can subconsciously influence them through different types of programming and television and signals that are sent out, which is why I think we had a switch from analog to digital as well that had something to do with this. But by obtaining all this information, Ira, you're able to actually begin to predict the future. This is when we get into areas such as pre-crime. And again, Amazon, they know how to ship you a package before you even order it, based on prior purchases, based on web searches, based on links and what you've looked at on Amazon.com. And they're able to do that without you even ordering the package. And now they have these little, you know, buttons that you press and it orders you diapers or Gatorade or razor blades.
Yep.
So all of this is the new world order, but it's also the old world order. It's technology being utilized to control people. And I'll stop here. I'll digress in just a moment. I think it's important to understand that with the smart meters, these things are tied in. You know, let me put it this way. You remember VHS tapes, Ira?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know, you can't find a VHS tape at the store now unless you go to a VHS store and there's, you know, they're like privately owned little, you know, little mom and pop shops.
About the only place I've seen them is at thrift stores.
Yes, and you can still find them at a thrift store, I think. That's right. That's right. I forgot about thrift stores. There's not too many of them around where I live, but you can find some there. So remember VHS is when I was growing up, and that wasn't, you know, like too tremendously long ago. I remember VHSs were very popular. I had Titanic on VHS. I had, you know, I had all the really good movies at the time. I had Independence Day. It was my favorite movie as a kid. Big surprise. I had that on VHS. And I remember when you heard announcements on TV and you heard, you know, read stuff in the newspaper and you start hearing people talk about, oh, they're going to switch to DVDs. And you think, oh, well, you switch to DVDs. You know, you think, well, it's going to be immediate. Well, you don't obviously realize that it takes years for VHS tapes to eventually go out of circuit, if you will. They go out of production, and then eventually their stores stop selling them, and you end up with DVDs. Well, now we're having to switch from that to Blu-ray. Blu-ray isn't selling very well, so now we're kind of going back to the DVDs, and different companies are looking for different ways to, you know, promote those products. So they're trying to make these like package deals where they're giving the DVD, the Blu-ray, and the digital copy together to try to sell them, because, you know, people are going online and downloading them. It's much easier and quicker. So keeping that in mind, if you think about it like this, people say, well, we're not going to ever have, you know, every single person in America or around the world, they're not going to have all these smart homes. Well, the thing is, smart meters are one part of a much larger plan. Just because you live in an apartment or you live in a home that doesn't have a smart meter, I guarantee you have one smart device in your house, whether you know it or not. Toasters, little mini ovens, all of this now is being equipped with geolocation devices. It's being equipped with air composition meters. It's being equipped with, in some cases, cameras and kitchen appliances.
Yeah, my brother Joe, when his parents went out and bought a new refrigerator, the refrigerator that they bought,
they have a camera in it.
It's a smart refrigerator, and it has a camera in it. And it's all about, oh well, this thing will tell you when you're out of milk, and this thing will tell you when you need more eggs, and on and on.
I'll
and on.
Decide
it's got
when
a big
I'm out
list
of milk.
Right there on the front. Isn't that wonderful?
It is. It is. What if they do, like, you know, for vegans and vegetarians? You know, what about a vegan who doesn't drink milk? Does it? Well, you can tell me when I'm out of seitan. Tell me when I'm out of tofu. Like, so anyway, and what I was just going to wrap this up with is that people don't think that this is ever going to happen, where, you know, you're going to have all of this smart technology. You're going to have the smart home like that Disney movie, because they think in very now terms, in the now. They don't think of the future, what happens. So if you kind of look at it like VHS is, eventually in the next decade or two, most people are going to have all smart devices. And part of this plan, it seems, is to link up all of the devices together. And this is already done. If you have a smart TV, you can link it with your smartphone. If you have a smartphone, smart TV, and you have a smart thermostat, which is made by a company called Nest, which is just another spy agency that works with groups such as the NSA, who run, like, for example, they've written software for Android for the phones. They've written backdoors to access your cell phones much easier. That was reported in the mainstream news. So you connect it with all of this technology, and they always sell it to you under convenience and under safety and protecting your family. You know, you can put cameras in your house for security now. So if you see the burglars in your house, you can talk to them over the audio and say, "Hey, put that TV down. Don't touch that TV."
So you can even do that through Comcast now. We have Comcast, and that was one of the things that they offered when we got accepted to do that. Yeah, you can have Comcast do your whole security. They'll put cameras up there and everything, and it's all done through the cable system.
Listen, Comcast, don't you have enough cameras in the cable boxes? Do you need to install them every? And that's just another thing, you know, Ira. It's everywhere. And that's the eventual goal, is to link all of it up. So now what they have is every home in America, apartment, condo, you know, house, trailer, doesn't matter. Everybody that's hooked up to the grid, if you will, all the information about what you watch on television, about what you look at online, about what you search for on television, about what you search for online, you know, the television stations you stay on the most, what the volume is that you listen to it on. They know everything that you do. They know how many people are in the house, when you're in the house. They know how, I swear to God, this is another one that Google had rolled out, how much you weigh. They can tell this based on the air composition in the house, based on the average, and then based on what it's like when you or your family or friends are there. So by obtaining all that information, they have a very, very, very detailed blueprint of you, your life, everything you like and you dislike. They can literally control what you do. And this is why companies like Amazon are literally able to send you a product before you order it, because they're able to predict the future. And this is very, very dangerous, because it doesn't leave things up to chance anymore. Nothing that happens, it happens, I think, by chance, in the sense of relating anything to corporations and government. Everything is planned out, and these people are not stupid. Yes, yes, yes. It is about money. And it is about gaining control, but I also think that there's a much, much darker, oppressive, tyrannical agenda at hand, Ira. And I digress.
I absolutely agree. Have you ever heard of the role-playing game Shadowrun?
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay. You know, in Shadowrun, the big thing that's in that game is the corporations. There's these mega corporations that own, like, entire swaths of countries. So, like, the entire East Coast of America is owned by one mega corporation. I think that's actually what they're trying to have come down. You know, for instance, all food products are going to be owned by Kellogg's. You know, Kellogg, you can have the different brands, but they're all ultimately going to be owned by Kellogg's, this megacorp of Kellogg's. Like Demolition Man, the movie Demolition Man, Taco Bell is the only restaurant because they won the fast food wars, you know?
Yeah.
I see that kind of thing coming. And I think what you're talking about here is actually kind of the first steps towards that kind of thing, because you have to have a really deep control system laid in place before something like that can really end up occurring.
That's right. And you know something else? There's two more things about the smart meters and the smart grid. What you have here is it's going to become, if it has not already, at least fully, a global surveillance state where, you know, when you watch, you know, I know it's used a lot, but George Orwell's 1984, and you see back in like the 1930s, you see these big television screens that are monitoring everything you do in your house, and they've got speakers built into them. That is literally what's happening. And I mean, you can literally see it with the televisions you buy, the smart TVs that you call them, but it's the microphones that are in the devices that you're purchasing now. It's the cameras that are in the devices that you're purchasing, the location devices. Everything is monitored and tracked. And what's really, I think, scary about it is, no longer are you going to be able to have a group of people that can gather somewhere like the original patriots that supposedly founded this nation, because everything is monitored to a point where that's not going to be allowed to happen. This is the rise, I think, Ira, of a oppressive, tyrannical system, that of which the world has never seen, much, much worse than anything you've ever read about happening in Nazi Germany. And I think that it's going to continue to unfold part of your lifetime and part of my lifetime. I'm not sure at what point we're going to see a tipping of the scale, if you will, when you see everybody that's kind of aware of what's going on, but it's happening much, much faster. The more power they have, the more power they have to gain more power even quicker. And the more and more power that they gain, the more and more that you can see people waking up. But I think it's a little bit off balance, and it's kind of coming at a 2-to-1 cost to us. Eventually, people are going to wake up, but it's going to be much too late. The last thing I had about this was I researched this for my book, The Grand Illusion. And if you look, the World Health Organization, their International Agency for Research on Cancer, even showed in May of 2011 that, and this is a quote from the World Health Organization, radio frequency electromagnetic fields are possibly carcinogenic to humans on an increased risk of glioma, a malignant type of brain cancer, which is associated with wireless cell phone use. Now, the reason that's important is because these smart meters give off radio frequency electromagnetic fields, and they give them off in microbursts, which happen thousands of times per second. So the World Health Organization, they even know that this can be carcinogenic, and yet it is allowed to happen.
Yeah, the electromagnetic field is so thick with the radiation that's been poured off of everything, all the Wi-Fi devices, all of the cell phones, everything, that the military actually doesn't even have to use radar anymore. They can see the shadows of planes on the electromagnetic field.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's one thing, you know, one aspect or one side aspect of all of this is that, you know, when, for example, you were talking about the microbursts of radiation, that type of thing is so thick that there are devices that can read exact positioning of people inside of the house. For instance, the police officers are using that right now, that they can see inside of your home without even being able to be in your home.
I've read about that. I've seen where the military has like a device or something where they can see. It's like an X-ray machine almost. They can see through the car, see through a truck. They can see through your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because of this radiation, this field of radiation that's just permeating everything.
And the drones, a lot of the drones, I think, have the ability as well to see inside of your house. I mean, that's why some, you guess you could call them conspiracy theories or preppers, people paint their roof with lead so that prevents the signals from being able to go through the roof and see into the house.
Yep, absolutely. Well, listen, we need to catch a break here real quick. We're going to do our first break right here. I think this will be a good spot. When we come back, we're definitely going to continue with this conversation because this leads us right into everything that we wanted to discuss with the Old World Order and the New World Order. Every bit of it, 100%. It's been awesome conversation so far. Stick around with us, folks. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
Are you tired of shows about bogus photographs of guinea pigs on Mars or fake photos of Bigfoot in the woods? How about fake paranormal shows that don't actually discuss the paranormal or believe that every object they see in the sky must be extraterrestrial? How about big networks that use alternative news to promote their mainstream agenda, political shows that are one-sided, or shows that claim to know exactly what is happening for ratings, even though an event just broke in the news? Me too. At The Secret Teachings, we are not like any of those other shows. We cover any topic from symbolism to ancient history and from health to the occult, including the paranormal, but we don't just jump on board with every photograph of an orb or sample of Bigfoot hair. We have no political affiliations, no religious backing, and no financial backing. We want proof, and not someone's word. If you want proof, or at least a different perspective from a host that can both accept or deny all points of view and all pieces of evidence, without holding onto a preconditioned belief or looking for evidence to support a prior conclusion, someone who can even admit when they're wrong, then check out The Secret Teachings Radio Show. Airtimes and free downloads are available by visiting www.thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info. I'm your host, Ryan Gable, and I hope that you will join us. Namaste.
What do you plan to do about crime in our city?
A lot. Because that's what Jesus wants. 9/11 was bad.
I agree with that. What are your plans for cleaning up our environment?
9/11.
What about our traffic problem?
9/11.
In the heart of this great city, we saw tragedy arrive on a quiet morning. September the 11th. September the 11th. September the 11th.
September 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 11th, 2001.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam. Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam. Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam Hussein.
War and danger.
Continuing danger.
Hour of danger.
Very, very dangerous world.
A grave new threat.
Horrific acts of atrocities.
Murderous regimes
dedicating to killing us.
Tyranny and terror.
Slaughtered thousands.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons programs.
The deadliest of weapons.
Terrible weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Poison gas.
Torture chambers.
Mass graves.
Deadly technologies.
Radical ideology of hate.
Terror of threats.
Terror.
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 War on terrorism.
War against terrorism.
Global war on terror.
Global terrorism.
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 The evil terrorists.
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 Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and thank you so much for sticking around through that break. I definitely appreciate it. For those of you who are not aware, that bit of information right there, that whole clip that I just played, all of that stuff actually came only from one place, the GOP convention that happened right after 9/11 ended up occurring. Every one of those was a different phrase that was used. There was no repeats in that in any way, shape, or form. Those were all individual statements that were made. That is how often they used that over and over and over again as a way to draw people into this fear mode mechanism. It's a form of mind control and a form of brain control, and it is very powerful. It really is. Ryan, what did you think of that one?
Well, after I laughed about the, Lois Griffin there, I was remembering that episode of Family Guy, and then I started hearing, the terror, 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 9/11, 9/11. And you're exactly right. I've actually put together a small sound clip like that before, and when I did my Truth Seeker documentary back in film school, I had a series of clips like that in the movie based, I think it was on the section called Fear, one of the ways in which you control society, and that is exactly what it is. That you're right, that was all from one convention where it is just an onslaught of biological weapons, chemical weapons, terror, 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 weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, WMDs. We don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud, mushroom cloud. And it's just fear, 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 fear. Now, see, the thing is, I'm 24 years old, okay? I went to high school, was not a great student. I did not go to a regular college. I went to a film school and basically laughed my way through that. And then after that, I went to college for like a month. And I dropped out because the teacher was, I was more intelligent than the teacher, and I wasn't going to get anywhere talking to a politics teacher when he loved the United Nations, and I guess he wanted to marry it. He loved it so much. And the point is that I have not gone to any official formal schooling, and I can sit here and tell you right now, without taking a single psychology class, that by instilling an image in people's minds after 9/11. In fact, that morning, not knowing how these buildings could have been brought down, not knowing who was responsible, and then yet, within a matter of 45 minutes after the event happened, we all of a sudden know who did it, how they did it, and why they did it. So an amount of information that was just neglected and looked over 45 minutes ago, now we know all of it. And now, since we have an enemy image, since we have an enemy, we have somebody responsible. Now we give them a label. They are the terrorists. They brought down buildings in New York on 9/11. So you instill the fear and that hatred and that anger and that regret into those terms. And the next time you use those terms, you could be in a really happy mood. But when the president comes on and says, these terrorists who hate us and who are out to kill us and are using weapons of mass destruction, September 11th, it instills in you the same feelings that you have when you remember where you were that morning, when you remember when you first heard who was responsible for that event because they hated America. And therefore, since you identify with your country, they must hate you as an individual, which, by the way, is not necessarily the case, I think, for most terrorist organizations. It's more anti-government and oppressive regime than anything. But I think I can tell you that right now, being 24 years old and never taking a single psychology class in my life, it's pretty blatantly clear what's going on there.
Oh, absolutely. You are right. And what you're saying with all of that is exactly how neurolinguistic programming works, which I've talked to you about before, and we're going to be doing on your show again, next week or so. That's exactly how it works. What you do is you lay down the treads or the pathway for a certain emotion to be invoked when you do a hand gesture or when you speak a certain phrase that you have programmed the person to respond to. They will feel that emotion once again, no matter what it is that they're doing, no matter what, mood they happen to be in at that moment. They will be taken back to when you laid those tracks down.
And I'll give you another one. Hope and change.
Yes.
Change you can believe in.
Yeah, when basically all we're left with is the hope that we have some change left.
That's right. I don't have any change left myself.
Well, of this, I think, does tie with the old world order issue. The old world order is all about, kind of the whole dynastic families, I think, everything that we see as far as this old world order stuff is concerned, with the monarchies, with religion, all of that stuff. If you trace the lines back, if you trace the breadcrumbs all the way back to where we have information coming from, which would be like Sumeria and Egypt and Cana and Arcadia, that kind of thing. During that time period, I think, is when a lot of this stuff was really laid out for people to follow as a pattern that's been laid over basically the planet. And so what do you think like would be the beginnings of this idea of the old world order? I mean, do you think that it was a kind of a group of people that got together and said, hey, let's do this? Or do you think that it was just something that happened and it's kind of been perpetuated ever since?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I think that there have been two news stories in the news this week that kind of side with what I've been saying for a long time. And there's other researchers who have said this too. There's a story in Bolivia, Ira, where the archaeologists have been able to uncover a giant pyramid that's underground, and it dates back a couple hundred years. It's underground at Tiwanaku. And then scientists and archaeologists, more specifically in Indonesia, found another massive pyramid underground, buried, that dates back 9,000, which at the minimum dating puts it 4,000 years older than the Great Pyramid of Cheops, or Cheops, however you pronounce it. And that puts that at 9,000 to 20,000 years old. So it could be roughly four times the age of the Great Pyramids in Egypt. Now, I think, and I've always said this, because we can go to Sumeria, we can go to the Ubaid culture, which came prior to, and I think that there was a much older, advanced civilization here on planet Earth. And the proof of that lies in physical structures that exist that, even to mainstream science, date back past and into the last ice age and prior to the melting of the ice. The final melting and one of the great floods around 10 to 11,000 BC, which according to myth and legend is the sinking of Atlantis as well. To look at all of these structures that are in Bolivia, that are in the Ukraine, that are in Antarctica, that are in South and North America, that are in off the coast of Japan, pyramids in China, all over Europe. There was definitely a cultural significance. There was a global understanding of symbolism, a global understanding of architecture, a global understanding of astronomy, a global understanding of science, a global understanding of mathematics. This was not a group of primitive people living on different parts of the world who were very not only primitive but just plain, like we're taught that they're just downright dumb and they grunt and they're stupid. Now new research has come out to show that modern human language was spoken almost 100,000 years ago. So our images of the past are so distorted. I think that this civilization that had existed then, be it with the help and the existence of extraterrestrials or not, I think that's absolutely irrelevant to this. I think there's something very much to say that this, whatever it was, whatever this society, whatever this civilization was, they were highly, highly advanced. And I think that after the cataclysms that resulted in their demise, or simply just the results of a much complex society that was so globalized that they were not able to keep themselves together, something happened where factions broke off and we get all of these different nations that eventually developed. I think probably the flood had something to do with that, wiping out a large portion of the earth. And again, this is just my ignorant assumption and my ignorant perception from what I've researched in my life and from what I see. So keeping that in mind, I see that whatever it was that that these people knew and understood, and the reason that they constructed the monuments that they constructed, and the ways now that we so ignorantly look at them and think that they're either all just a burial tomb. You know, we have no clue what these things were used for, sacrifices and symbols of the goddess and things like that, that we don't typically think of when we think of pyramids. Whatever the knowledge was that they had, I think, was handed down and preserved through the generations. And those who have this knowledge, those who preserve that knowledge, and, knowledge is gained over time even more so, that these people were able to hold that over the lower echelons of society. You know, for one, you're able to keep people in the dark about who they are, where they came from, and what they're capable of. You're able to better control them. You're able to literally, figuratively keep them as slaves. They're sheep, they're cattle. You can tell them and force them to do whatever. But there are other factions, I think, that hold this information secret because if certain facts were to get out to the general population, some people would use it for less positive purposes, if you will. So I think that that kind of created this division between multiple groups of people who had a very advanced understanding of the nature of reality. And as human beings began to repopulate the planet, certain sects took over certain regions, and there became a very common theme of non-interference by certain groups, and then completely the opposite of that by other groups. And the groups that had the, you know, complete interference, they use these myths and these stories of, you know, they are the intermediaries between God. God gives them the power to rule. So they have that bloodline influence, the royal bloodlines, the monarchies. And this, basically, fast forwarding to answer your question, gets carried through to today. And as you know, you can trace every single president back king signed the Magna Carta in 1215.
Charlemagne is who they can trace themselves back to for the most part.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Look just in the news 2 days ago, Kim Kardashian is a direct descendant from the same line as the Prime Minister of the UK.
Gee, no James shock Cameron. There. Yeah. I think only one president has not been in that family line. I believe it was Taft, if I remember correctly. He's the only one that cannot trace lineage somehow back to the monarchy, essentially.
I'd be surprised if that was true. I don't remember if it's Taft, but if that's true, I'd be surprised because Taft was one of the ones who established the Skull and Crossbone Society at Yale, and his family was very involved in the Opium Wars in China as well.
Okay, so I could be wrong on thinking Taft. I know that one of them is kind of exempted. I just cannot remember right offhand which one it was, but I know even Obama is traced right back to it as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, Obama is a cousin of Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Oh, yeah. You take a picture of Obama and a picture of Bush, and you put them together, and they look very much alike. It's really weird.
So, I mean, that really, I think, is in a very, very generalized and superficial kind of an understanding of history. I think that's probably what happened. And to answer your question more directly, in terms of the old world order, I think that in some ways it was done on purpose. In other ways, over time, once you conceal a little bit about human existence, you know, why we're here, who we are, what we're really capable of, over time that snowballs. So you really don't have to constantly hide information, if you will. All you have to do is initially form this consensus in the population, and they begin to, as we see today, govern themselves. You don't have to go bug every home. You just come out with a new iPhone. People go buy the plants for themselves.
Yeah, the sheep shepherd themselves is essentially what it comes down to.
That's
and
right.
Those who don't do it themselves are controlled by the rest of the sheep.
That's right. Peer pressure.
Yeah.
Social control without even direct influence from another source.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about the old world to the new world order?
Well, see, I'm in agreement with you for the most part. I wanted to kind of, I guess, expand on one portion of things that you had talked about, because I think that this is where a lot of it does kind of stem from. When you look back in the history of things and you see how different religions got their starts, I think that a lot of the old world order to new world order stuff is very related to religion. It's just because human beings as a psychology were kind of ingrained to have some sort of a belief system for whatever reason that might be, if that was programmed into us or if that just has now become a part of our genetic makeup over time. I don't know for sure. But digressing from that, what we see happening in the past is that there were certain groups of priests who were involved in these different religious orders way back in ancient days. You know, we're talking like way back, the Egyptian period, Sumerian period, going way even before that, you know, going into the even the basic shamans, you know, from prehistory. Back during those days, the people had no idea what was written in the different texts. They had no idea what was actually taught to anybody. You know, they were just doing basically what the priests told them was the acceptable way to do things and what God had handed down to them to do. So what you saw happening during that time period, I think, is the priests, those who were born into the priest class, they were born into this state of affluence. They had this really, I mean, they had it good. You know, the people would bring them all of the different gold. They'd bring them, you know, spices and sacrifices, animals to sacrifice, and on and on and on. And they got fat and happy off of it. to bite no bones about it, they got fat and happy off of it. So what they would do is they would hand down decrees that they said came from God. But these were just them saying, hey, we need to have a little bit extra on this day, you know, because, well, we're having the hookers over here, and we need to have a little bit more of a sheep because they like their lamb chops. So, so what I think we saw happening was that these priests would hand down these rules and regulations, and they would say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and you have to be obedient. God says that the first 10% has to go to him, but the rest of it is going to go into the fire. And oh, by the way, yeah, sure, it's going to go into the fire, but at the same time, it's getting cooked, and it does have to be disposed of eventually, so we may as well go ahead and eat it. It's not a big deal. The first 10% went to God, so we gave to him, you know? And that basically has been passed down through time. Now you see, and like going through history, the monarchies and all of that kind of stuff that have been, you know, kind of derived, these quote unquote divine families, have come out of these different priest castes. So if you trace back, for instance, the current Windsor monarchy over in Britain, you can trace them back actually to becoming the Levite priests way back in the ancient Jewish days. So, and which was then extended into the Roman time period, which then became kind of co-opted into the Roman Empire, which then the Roman Empire became, you know, by the now it becoming the Holy Roman Empire or the Holy Roman Church, and then moving on into becoming this monarchy that claims that they rule by divine right. All of these things can be traced way back to those time periods where the priests told the people, this is what you need to do. And by the way, we can say this because we have a direct line to God who tells us that this is the way that it's supposed to be.
Oh, sure. As long as God says it, go ahead and murder, rape, pillage, kill, steal, whatever you got
to
do.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you even get back into the basis, and I'm not going to try to sidetrack too much here, but you know, you're touching a point for me. if you go into the basis of, for instance, Judaism, the whole beginning of it was this guy, Abraham, who heard the voice of God telling him to kill his son. And people today look at this and say, oh, well, that was just an act to prove his faith. Of course, God stopped him. But if I was to come to you and say, hey, Ryan, God told me last night that I need to take my son over to this hill that's over here, and I need to stab a knife into him and sacrifice him. You'd look at me and say, you're freaking crazy. Put this guy away. But no, this guy, Abraham, he's exempted from that kind of thing. And he was just doing it as an act of faith. That's the whole basis of things. It's based in crazy.
Well, hey, think about this for a second. You know what I cover on my show quite often, ritual sacrifice, blood sacrifice, you know, child trafficking.
And it's all right there.
And it is. That's the thing. It's all right there because it still happens today. Yeah. And the reason people are so opposed to listening to what I have to say on my show is because they know that it happens today and they don't like to think about that. And that's why I think a lot of these bloodline families have been able to kind of become very discreet to the average person who doesn't really know of their existence or know of the connections between certain presidents, mm-hmm. because they But it's not publicly acceptable anymore. And that's where communion comes in. You know, communion is basically a publicly, socially acceptable version of killing a child, drinking their blood, and eating their flesh.
Absolutely.
However, now it's done with Welch's high fructose corn syrup grape juice and high fructose corn syrup crackers from Nabisco, the Cross of Lorraine company. You know, it's just about what's going to be socially acceptable or not. And you know what? That's I just looked it up real quick. It's Martin Van Buren, the eighth president, who's not part of that line.
There you go. Okay, thank you.
just to clear that up.
Yeah, I feel that's important. Definitely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely, Ira. And the other thing was, I was going to say that there was an article. If you've read my book, I put it in my book because it was so fascinating when I first read it, and it just went along right with what my instincts told me to investigate. And there was a news article in the Daily Mail. I think it was a book that was being written, but it was historically accurate, and the mainstream didn't dispute it. But the royal family was known to eat flesh of people they killed and consume their blood less than 300 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not that long ago. They still do these rituals today. It's as if it all disappeared in 1776 with the forming of America, which is another type of New World Order, or as many called it, a New Jerusalem. So, Ira, this stuff still goes on today, and it's really naive, and it's a little bit arrogant to think that it doesn't go on today, and we've allowed ourselves to just sort of tailspin and spiral into a vortex of nothingness, and this planet is just getting looted while the rest of us just sit here and put our headphones in, turn our TVs on, and entertain ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Roman Empire, just as an example, to go with what you're saying right there, the Roman Empire was a big advocate of the whole bread and circuses. They called it panem et circense or something along those lines. Anyways, my Latin is horrible. As long as the citizens had, you know, cheap entertainment and fast food basically to pacify them, they didn't cause any kind of serious trouble or outcries. They had no revolutions because they kept the people basically, as I said with the priests, fat and happy. As long as the people are fat and happy, they don't care what goes on in the rest of the empire. So when the empire basically got eliminated, so to speak, you know, when it fell apart,
conflict and corruption,
right? When it fell apart to the point where they had to shift it and co-opt it into the Holy Roman Empire, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. What ended up occurring was that their infrastructure got so outstretched and stretched so thin that the people began to starve, and it caused their empire basically to fall apart from there. So what do you see today? You see fast food restaurants everywhere. You see cheap entertainment everywhere. It's all about, you know, the bread and circuses.
Hey, isn't that just kind of like the George Carlin stand-up where he was talking about people who are overweight, and then he started talking about this country and how it's just one big coast-to-coast shopping mall, and he said that everywhere it's a mall, and in between the big malls they put the mini malls, in between the mini malls they put the mini marts, in between the mini marts they got used car lots, dirty bookstores, porno shops, and gas stations. And that's really what this whole country is, isn't it? It's just one big international mall, shopping everywhere you turn. And it's all a big distraction.
It absolutely is. It's I love Carlin, by the way. He's one of my personal heroes. So
me too, man.
Carlin and Hicks, between the two of them, man. A lot of truth came out of those two, you know. You're absolutely right, though. It really is a sad state of affairs, but this is really no different now than it always really has been.
Yeah. Right.
That's kind of my point with everything.
Now, like we were talking about the smart meters, it's just more efficient today.
Right.
It's easier for the few to control the many. And there's a great quote. I don't say great because I promote it. I say great because it's just so telling. I think it's a Zbigniew Brzezinski. He says, you know, in the olden days, it was much easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. Nowadays, it's infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people. And that's the mentality that we have playing out now, Ira.
It absolutely is. Yes. You've right on the head, man. I'm telling you. What we see happening, I think, is that instead of now, well, you know, it used to be the Silk Road was the big trade. You know, now it's the internet superhighway. that's how it's changed. You're right. It is much more efficient to get the crap that keeps people happy, you know? So of course they're going to do everything that they can do to push the consumerism, because the more people are into this consumerism mindset, the more their power base grows, because they're sucking all the resources away from everybody else. And at the same time, they're making themselves more wealthy while keeping the citizens happy and fat.
Happy and fat. But you know, the thing is, it only lasts for so long. It doesn't last forever. I just got the collector's edition of Interstellar, the new movie by Christopher Nolan. And there's a great scene where they're sitting on the porch and they're talking about what happened to Earth, because it's just turning into a big dust bowl, basically. And there's, the governments have basically fallen, and humanity's about to, choke to death. And there's the planet's losing oxygen, and it's falling apart and dying. And they were talking about how, they've had to revert back to basically everybody just becoming a farmer, because the technologies, the one guy was talking about when he was younger, he remembers that every day that there was a new technology being developed, and that there was a new item that everybody was trying to get to, and everybody was just trying to get a piece of having everything. And I love Christopher Nolan's movies, because they're so, so on point with what's going on in the real world, and they're so psychologically accurate. So I just watched that last night, and I started thinking about that same concept, and that's basically what we have nowadays. Look at this. You have every single day a new gadget, a new technology being unraveled, being unveiled, and every single person, almost every single person, Ira, almost every single person is fighting over each other. They're climbing over, they're falling over themselves, trying to get the new gadget, the new technology, so that they're up to date with what's hip and what's trendy. And you have billions of people falling over themselves to try to get this new technology, and next week a new one comes out, and a new one comes out. It only lasts so long. Eventually, materials run out. Eventually, money runs out. Eventually, the system will collapse. This country's only, I see this country kind of as, it's like a sideshow where, this group of con artists just pulled up on the side of the road, and they're conning people out of their money. And once they con every last dollar out of the people, they pack up and they move on. And that's basically what happens when you look at the origins of this New World Order. Going back before the Sumerian Empire and the Fertile Crescent in Sumeria, but if you follow that through, the empire of Sumeria, the empire of Babylon, the empire that was Rome, the empire that was Egypt, and the empire that was Britain, and the empire that is America. Eventually, these people will pack up, and they will move on, and they will begin to reap, rape, pillage, and destroy another part of the world. And this power will just continue to move from one part to the next part to the next part. And the thing is, I think part of it is human ingenuity. Part of it is a side effect, if you will. It is a reaction of technological advancements, and it is a reaction of the ways in which we have our financial system established. But don't get me wrong, there's definitely a darker force at hand here, and greed is a major part of this.
Yes, it is. One thing, okay, there's two things that I'd like to say to all of that. Number one, with the interstellar thing, I really love how the only thing that was left that was able to grow was the GMO corn.
Was the GMO corn, yeah.
Had to throw that out there. Number two, all the things that you just said, absolutely right. I totally agree with it. Of course, I agree with you far too much, Ryan, I'm telling you.
I say it too, I know.
But here's what I'd like to add to that, okay? You said one of your favorite movies is Independence Day.
Yes, when I was a kid, that was my favorite movie.
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but this is something that I've thought over the years, and it falls right into what you were just saying. I think that Independence Day is actually a deeper movie than most people give it credit for, because what I have seen happening in that movie, if you take the things that went on in it, where this alien race comes in. They use up a star system. They use up a planet. They feed on it like locusts. They pull every bit of resources off of it and leave it a dead world and move on to the next one. Is exactly what you were talking about there with the way that the Empire system works. And then in the movie, you see them, you know, doing the whole July 4th, this is our Independence Day. And that is, you know, exactly a correlation to exactly how we as people should act and react to these frickin' locusts that keep coming onto our shores over and over and over again and eat everything that's available and then move on to the next one once they've gotten done destroying it all.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that is a very, very keen observation. I've actually done a segment about that topic before. I think it was a couple of years ago when that movie Battle Los Angeles came out, because these cyborg aliens, I think, have you ever seen that movie Battle Los Angeles? Yeah, they were like a cyborg or something, and they came to, you know, to claim our water, basically, to use in their ships. And that what you're saying about Independence Day is exactly on point. And I said that that year, whatever year that movie came out, I did a kind of an observation of aliens and their agendas in different movies throughout the ages. And that was one of the conclusions I came to as well. And that's what it seems like, that it is a parasite that has attached itself to the human race and that it is sucking the life out of us. And you can feel it emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And when people say to me, because I'm speaking in this manner, that Ryan, you've watched Independence Day too many times, or Ryan, you've watched The Matrix too many times. Let me ask you a question. Where do you think people like, I don't know how to pronounce, is it the Wachowski brothers or something that wrote The Matrix? I don't know how you pronounce their name.
Wachowski?
Yeah, that Wachowski, right?
I think that's how it is, yeah.
Where do you think they got the idea to write a movie like that? I mean, really, I always say, do you think these people stayed in a Holiday Inn Express, took a shower, and boom, they had the idea for The Matrix, like the commercials? The people that write stuff like this have a deeper understanding, and they put it out there for other people to kind of get a hold of so that they can watch, you know, 60 minutes or 120 minutes of a movie, and they take something more away from it. It's more than just entertainment. So you can use entertainment, you can use television movies to instill more than just subliminal messages to get you to go buy more popcorn at the theater, or to get you to go buy, you know, another McDonald's hamburger. You can use it to instill real ideas and plant real seeds in people, and that's what movies like that are. I'll tell you another one, Ira, that is just as good, if not better, than Independence Day. I'm a big fan as well of Pixar, and I'm a huge fan of almost everything they've ever done, except for some of the newer stuff where they're doing, like, you know, Finding Nemo Part 2. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but besides that, have you ever seen one of their first movies called A Bug's Life?
I have, yeah.
Okay, now, if you've seen that movie, if you're listening and you have not seen A Bug's Life, you know, get off your butt, try to find a copy of this movie and watch it. It's a kid's movie, but it is so symbolic of us as human beings, the worker ants, constantly trying to obtain as much food as we can so that we can feed the grasshoppers. And every time they come, every year, it's a yearly thing. Remember, they come, they eat, they leave. And the ants are so terrified, they don't realize that, as the grasshoppers say, they outnumber them 100 to 1. But all the ants can do is set and think about how terrified they are of not pleasing these people that come in, or these creatures that come in and terrorize them. And there's thousands of ants and only a couple hundred grasshoppers, and they basically suck the life out of the ants. And, you know, the whole point of the movie is basically what we're talking about right here and right now, is that there are a group of worker ants. Hey, that's us. And we are serving this empire, this evil empire, as we call it. And we just kind of say to ourselves, every time we see a story about GMOs, every time we see a story about, you know, some deception in politics, or every time we see a story about, you know, another lie, another, you know, another murder, another death, whatever the case is, all this terror and fear that's around us constantly, we say to ourselves, they come, they eat, they leave. They come, they eat, they leave. They come, they eat, they leave. But eventually, they come and the food's not there in the movie, so they go after the ants a little bit harder, and that's what really starts this chain reaction. And that causes, by the end of the movie, the ants, they defeat the grasshoppers. And that's where I think we are now in modern society, Ira, is the grasshoppers have come, the food's not there, and they're getting a lot angrier because people are waking up. People are seeing through the ruse. So what happens when you get closer to the queen bee, if you will? What happens when you get closer to the nest? These people start to fight much harder and much stronger. So as we begin to wake up, it becomes much more difficult to get others to wake up as well, because we're getting closer to the nest of where all of this stuff is situated. We're beginning to obtain the information that can bring down this veil.
You're right. And I see traps with that as well. I'll be honest with you. I see traps with that as well. What I see happening when it comes to this idea of the old world order and the new world order, they're both one and the same. In the end, they're both one and the same. What we see happening right now, I think, is well, we're seeing history being written as we watch, okay? We're seeing a direct correlation between the old world order and the new world order and the Holy Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the creation of those two things, where the one empire fell and the other was born out of its ashes, the phoenix, so to speak. What we're seeing happening is this old system starting to crumble away. We have the opportunity to move forward, to have a revolution, you know, to get rid of the evil through this revolution, you know? Well, with this situation, though, there are traps because they're planning. They've laid out different tunnels that we can go down, right? So in the one tunnel, we're going to have the freedom. We're going to have the escape route from this system. The other tunnel leads right to the New World Order, which is just the old world order repackaged. That's what I see happening. So it's like there's the opportunity for these traps that are laid out currently.
Well, I see traps everywhere too. Don't get me wrong. I might be more of an advocate for what you're saying than for the way that you just said that. If that makes any sense, I talk about traps all the time. The second net. I mean, my goodness, if you are anyway interested in food and GMOs, and you study companies that support labeling or don't support labeling, my goodness, you find this everywhere. You find companies that act as if it's organic, and you know we're trying to be non-GMO, and then you turn around and the company's donating millions of dollars to propositions to not label GMOs because their food contains GMOs, and it's a major deception. You find that everything is twisted. You find that everything is backwards. And what you'll find is that as the second net comes down, there's this trap. You get all these people that are so, and this is only one example, that are so worried about health, and they're worried about, you know, like, I guess you could say hippies almost. I don't know if people still use that term, that are worried about supporting big corporations. And yet they go and they buy products that are manufactured by those same large corporations that they disagree with. And the reason that they do that is because they've fallen into the trap. They think, well, the label says organic, the label says local, the label says non-GMO. It must be local, it must be from a small business, and it must be non-GMO. When in fact, companies nowadays purchase up small businesses just so that they can use their label, and then they change the ingredients and put the same garbage in that food, and people get swept back up in that second net, and they become highly deceived by the labelings that say, oh, local potato chips, when they're manufactured in a factory, you know, 1,000 miles away.
It reminds me of the movie Tommy Boy. Have you ever seen Tommy Boy?
Absolutely, yeah. They buy up his dad's company.
Yeah, right? And it's the whole thing with I got to have a guarantee on my box. I feel comfortable when I have this guarantee on my box. Well, you know, I could crap into that box, and it's going to just be a guaranteed piece of crap.
That's right. You could get a good look at a steak by sticking your head up a bull's butt, but I'd rather take your word for it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he just wanted the Callahan name. That's all that he wanted, right?
Yep.
So he could package his product up and put it in it. But I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
That's the deception. People think that they're going out, they're being independent, they're buying local, and then they're supporting the same companies that they despise.
Precisely. It's still the same part that's inside of it. It's just a different label.
That's right. And you know what? Going back to what you said earlier about some like multinational corporation that controls much of the country, that's where we're headed. I mean, back in the 1980s, there were maybe the 70s and 80s, there were 50 corporations that controlled all the media. Now there's five. And that is the same thing across all spectrums. You know, you get these multinational, international corporations that have so much money and so much influence. I mean, just Walmart's not even included. But looking at Walmart as an example, I saw a list of like 40 companies/countries with the most economic power. Walmart was in like the top 15. They had more economic power and more money than most countries on this planet, Ira.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. That I think is exactly what is coming. You mentioned the news stuff, you know, the media outlets. And when you come down to it, yes, you are correct that basically five corporations own all basically media that's out there besides those who are independent and some of the alternatives. Some of the alternatives are completely owned by them as well. But, you know, basically 200 executives control everything that goes on as far as the media is concerned. And when you break it down even further, any news that people get comes from basically two sources, either the Associated Press or Reuters. And the Associated Press actually has deep ties to Reuters. So in the end, it only all comes from Reuters.
And
you know, when they want your
the
opinion,
Rothschilds.
They're going to give it to you.
That's right. Both of those are owned by the Rothschild family.
Precisely. So that goes right into this idea of the dynastic families and how they are currently in control of everything. And through this new world order that they're trying to create, which I do think is this whole idea of the corporate entities basically owning everything and everyone, you see that happening already, but it's just it's a shifting that's occurring basically. So they're shifting from the idea of nationalism into corporatism. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, you have, for instance, with the old world order, you have the kind of the head of it right now seems to be the Queen of England, which I know you have a big issue with.
That's an understatement. Yes.
I know I just pushed a button for you. But when she parades through the streets, you know, legions of people are sitting there waving their flags and they're cheering for her. And what's sad is even Americans do the same thing. You know,
the whole thing of
Americans, oh, fawning over the grandbaby got born and oh, isn't he beautiful and oh, wonderful. Who the frick cares?
Right. You know, famous.
It's the monarchy. Why are we caring?
We need a new George Washington quote. He said, what did he say when some of the founders asked him to be president, or they asked him to be king, basically. And he said, I didn't fight King George III to become King George IV.
Exactly.
We need that now. We didn't fight King George III to bow down to the new, you know, the new Prince George. Some type of quotation like that, because, you know, like really, when that baby was born, there was so much publicity.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
TMZ and People Magazine, it's blasting all over the – and it's still – it's all over the front pages. You know, Kate's pregnant again. Who cares? Why is that important to you? Any like these young girls that walk around like, oh my God, look, she's pregnant again. It's wonderful. You know, these parents that buy their kid – you know, I'm not a parent. I'll tell you what. I've raised a kid for a couple of years. And these parents that constantly – with specifically the young girls that – dress them up like princesses. You know, it's okay to pretend once in a while, but to constantly immerse your kids in this princess Disney brainwash fantasy insane world is no different than acting as if every day is Christmas and telling them some fat guy is going to break into your house and leave you presents that you asked for telepathically.
And how much
it's
of the Disney
insanity.
Thing? How much of the Disney thing do you think is tied in with that? That it's like done as a design to make people more fawning over the monarchy.
Well, listen, absolutely. Mike D and I have done several shows about the psych.
Oops, are you still there? I lost you.
I am still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You cut off there. You said Mike D and you have done a show about the psychology, and I didn't catch anything else after that. So go for it from there.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, we were talking about the psychology in music videos and the symbolism and how that is used in tangent with movies and how that is used in tangent with these different mind control programs that are run by different black operations as well as organizations such as the Central Intelligence Agency, mind control programs that go back many, many years into the past that were run by the Russians and were run by the Germans during World War II, and some other countries had their own mind control programs. And you know what? I think that that is another very keen observation, Ira. Part of that, and Disney is one of those mega corporations that they control their own news agencies as well.
Yep.
And they have this vested interest promoting that princess, that monarchy, that image of the crown. And these young girls, they dress up like princesses, they buy princess. It's one thing to buy Barbie dolls, but everything's princess, 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 princess. Every store you go to, whether you're in the dollar section or you're back in the toy section, it's princess, princess, princess. We are so obsessed with this, and you're right, it's just another form of brainwashing.
I really do think so. We need to catch our final break here real quick. Man, this has been an awesome topic so far.
It has been. We need another 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, we do. I'm telling you. Okay, so hang on with us, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes after these messages.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on latenightinthemidlands.com. And together, maybe we won't stumble and fall.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
Flight leaves in an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, fine. We're going home. What about you?
Well...
Very nice, thanks. Well, hello there and welcome back to Open Eyes. I love the little grooving sound on that song there. Boy, it's been an interesting time so far tonight, I think. I've been talking to Ryan Gable, the host of The Secret Teachings. You can find his show on Late Night in the Midlands, as well as his own website, thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info. This guy is great. I love talking to him. I have an awesome time talking to him every single time. And boy, we never lack for anything to get through, do we, Ryan?
No, we don't. But believe me, on all honesty, the feelings completely mutual.
I know that you had some other things that you wanted to say before we ended up having to interrupt and take the break there. I'll go ahead and open the floor here and get to however you want to go for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I just had some information that, you know, I had thought about, and I thought that it was very relevant for what we're discussing tonight. And it just proves what you have been saying, what I have been saying. If you look at some of the big companies, they look at the constant buying of little and, I guess, medium-sized companies by larger companies. Look at these companies get much larger. Look at Kellogg. Kellogg has purchased multiple companies in the last couple of years. They've purchased Pringles. Kellogg's has also purchased Keebler Foods for $3.8 billion. And that was many years ago. General Mills purchased Annie's Organics for close to $1 billion. It was like 800 and something million dollars back in 2014. And why do you think that they purchased Annie's Organics? So that they can label their products organic and start putting a bunch of crap into Annie's. And I swear to God, you know what? I spoke to a guy, his name, Mike D spoke to a guy, his name was Seth, who's one of the founders of a company called Honest Tea. It's a tea company. And if you look at their glass and plastic bottles, they were purchased by Coca-Cola. Now, before they were purchased by Coca-Cola, most of the bottles that they had were glass, and most of the glass bottles were the ingredients black tea, water, sugar. That was the ingredient list. Once they were purchased by Coca-Cola, the ingredient list changed. It went from black tea, water, and sugar to black tea, water, sugar, citric acid, natural flavors, artificial flavors. Now, it's the same exact tea, but they felt a need to add all of the different preservatives as well as the aspartame to the product. And this is what happens with these smaller companies and even massive companies, where you have AT&T and Verizon purchasing companies and becoming these multi-billion-dollar cellular networks. What we're seeing is the slow centralization of power, and it gets more centralized every day, Ira.
Absolutely. And see, those are the exact features that I was going to talk about that are the popularized features of the New World Order in the whole conspiracy realm. People out there talk about, oh, well, the New World Order is this and this and this. Well, basically what they've said is that the New World Order is all about globalization. What do you see happening right now? Everything is becoming globalized. It's doing it through the corporatocracy, but it's definitely becoming a lot more globalized. They talk about population control. Well, what do you think they're doing right here, right now? They're doing everything that they can do to control the population through the drugs that they're giving you, you know, the legal drugs that should be illegal, all of the different vaccinations and everything. I mean, you know, I talk about this occasionally on the show, and people say maybe I talk about it too much, but hey, this is an important freaking point. You know, by the year 2020, it's estimated that half the population of children are going to be diagnosed with autism. That's a devastating statistic, right? But that is exactly a form of population control. They talk about that it's all about spying and observations and getting into your business. Well, again, what do you think is happening right here, right now? Legally, everything that they do, everything that you do, 100% is tracked, databased, collated, and not only saved for their use for the future, like you were talking about being able to predict when somebody wants to buy something or whatever, but also so that they can sell it to the third party companies and make even more money off of your data. It's all very dark and controlling, and this is exactly what we have right here, right now. It's the old world order, just in a new package.
That's right. That's right. And you know, another thing about big corporations, you know, most of these big companies, especially retail places, you know, they're always pushing credit cards and debit cards and, you know, information like that. They get your information from things like that, and they do sell it. And, you know, people are worried. Ira, you hear in the news quite often that people are worried about being hacked because companies like P.F. Chang and Target, they've all been hacked several times. Michaels, I think, was hacked. Home Depot. Two weeks ago,
my credit card got hacked and I had to get a new one.
There you go. I don't even have a credit card.
Well, and it's a debit card, but still, yeah.
Okay. That's a little bit different, but that's actually the point of where I was going with this. Sometimes I just talk really slow and I try to gather my thoughts. The point of where I was going with this is that, you know, a lot of the population, and at least in America, were worried about our information being stolen. So now apparently there's these ads. I've been asked about them several times, these ads on television, and maybe you've seen them, where they I don't know if it's a bank or what group is promoting this. They're saying, you know, you need to get a credit card. It's safer than a debit card. Or, you know, you hear the reverse of that. Get a debit card. It's safer than a credit card.
Yeah.
Either way, both of them are just as susceptible to hackers. So then what credit card companies are doing now is they're saying, well, what we'll do is if they're susceptible to people stealing the cards and your information, we're going to put a microchip in the card. And eventually the next step will be to, well, we don't want to have this plastic anymore, just like you didn't want to have money, so we got the plastic. You don't want plastic. We'll just put the microchip in your skin. That is the agenda, whether you like it or not. And this has nothing to do with Left Behind or Jesus coming back to save you and people being decapitated. You know, on these guillotines like you see in the Left Behind movies. That just scares the hell out of people. The reality of the what we're experiencing right now is a very, very oppressive and dangerous tyrannical state, and it's run by a major, major corporatocracy that's getting more centralized by the day.
Oh, absolutely. You got it right on point there. It's really sad and disgusting to me to see people just falling right in line like lemmings, and they're just going right off the cliff. And people like you and me, for instance, we are out here, you know, wearing our voices thin. I mean, you've been fighting off, you know, your own voice being worn thin. Yeah, wearing our voices thin, using up so much of our energy and our resources, trying to get people to understand that these things are going on, that we're in a whole lot of trouble, you know, that we need to go to the windows and scream out, you know, I'm mad as hell and I can't take this anymore.
That's right, little Howard Beale.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Sometimes I even succumb to the seed of doubt that's planted, where I'll start thinking, well, maybe I'm a little bit off about what I spoke about on tonight's show, or maybe I'm a little bit off about what I wrote about in the book, and then I'll think, hold on a second. The people that planted that seed of deception, they've never picked up a book in their life. They've never read. They've never written anything. They've never listened to a radio show like this. They have no clue what's going on. I've actually sat down and done the research. I can think for myself. There's no need for me to think that I might be wrong about something in terms of, you know, at least, you know, knowing and showing what the agenda is. I know I'm wrong about things, but I think you know what I mean. Sometimes you get that thought that maybe something that we're doing is just wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe we're just incorrect about something. You know, people plant that seed of deception, and then you start thinking, at least people that plant their seeds of deception, these people that think they know what they're talking about, they don't know what they're talking about. They've never really had an original thought in their life. I deal with these people every single day. They think they know what they're talking about. They run around talking, you know, a lot of the teenagers and college kids, they run around with either the red or the blue on, and they, oh, you know, Democrats or Republicans, and even the libertarian kids, oh, we love libertarian and the Fed, and then they go after they say in the Fed and they protest the banks, they go deposit money into the banks.
Yes, exactly. And what does that do? That supports exactly what it is that they're trying to fight against. They're giving them money because that's how they earn their money, by people depositing.
Of course, Bank of America doesn't care if you protest outside, because when you go, you get a donation for $100, you go inside, you deposit it in the bank, that bank can now loan it $190.
Yes, exactly. It's sad. It really is. It disgusts me, because it's like I said, we're trying to get people to understand, and then they try to do what they can to poo-poo all over what we do and what we talk about. And, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Ira. Go home and do research. No, you go home and do research. I've done my work. You know, I've lived for 44 freaking years through this crap. You've been here for what? 12, 13, come on.
Right. And you being older than I am, Ira, and Michael as well, you and Michael are close to the same age, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he's a year younger than I am.
So if that's the case, you guys have been around roughly twice as long as I have. So you've seen a different world than I have. For me to become consciously aware and see the world change in the last couple, just the last couple of years, but since I've been a child, I can't imagine the changes that you and changes that Michael have seen. There's much more complex than what I've experienced in my life. And that's why it's so important to, I think, teach our kids and to try to teach even this generation that's a part of this massive change, because the next generation that's coming along, Ira, and you know this full well, they're being born into the way things are. They're going to grow up thinking that, well, surveillance and the modified foods, this is all just part of our society. They're not going to think two times about the subjects. And anybody who has an issue with it, well, they're just, they're an old coot.
Well, especially when you consider the fact, too, that they've gotten very, very good over the past maybe 15, 20 years in indoctrinating children through the education system. And now with the whole Common Core thing coming up, it's going to get even worse.
That's all that it is. Yep. Indoctrination.
Yeah. So that's all part of it.
And you know, if you go back and you just kind of think about what we've been discussing tonight so far, we're talking about monarchies, talking about globalization, centralization, corporatocracies, really fascism, corporate control of a nation. We really don't teach our kids about government. We don't teach our kids about like, for example, the election process. Most people have no clue what the election process really is. Most people have no clue that George Bush, the son, didn't win the presidency in the year 2000, that yeah. was actually won by Al Gore.
36% of Americans, only 36% of Americans actually know what the three different branches of the government are. That's a statistic wow. that's out there. Yeah. 36%.
You stopped me in my tracks, Ira. I don't even know what to say to that. But you're right. You're right. And, you know, I don't know a statistic about this, but I can guarantee you that a smaller percentage know what the Bill of Rights are, know what the Declaration of Independence is, know what the Constitution is. I bet fewer people probably know who a fraction of the founding fathers are. You know, yeah. I said this on my show for Saturday. And that was, you know, you people run around clamoring about rights and, you know, you arm freedom of speech and freedom of the press. You people can't even name, I bet you can't name two or three other amendments other than freedom of speech. I bet you can't name two of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And I'll give you John Hancock. Name one other one. And like people could, it's like jaywalking. Have you ever watched Jaywalking with Jay Leno?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, it's just like that, and I really want to do this. It's kind of like what Mark Dice does, where you just go out, you know, you don't dress weird or anything. You just dress kind of nice, and you put a suit on, and you go out with a camera, and you just kind of ask, you know, kids questions. And on jaywalking, they just do it improv. They go up to people and ask, you know, who was the first president of the United States?
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, okay.
and people just really don't know. I mean, bros and hoes, I guess that's the only yeah. way that you can put it. And you know, what's up, bro?
The slap a hoe generation.
That's all that it is. That is all that it is, brother. And that's what we see. And that's really, really terrifying that, you know, this generation of kids grow up and they don't know how corrupt our system is, Ira, and how just twisted and backwards everything is. They don't even have a chance to understand it if we don't teach them from birth, because they've been raised in this. They think that this is all that there is. This is how things are, that they, just like Bush said after 9/11, go shopping. They think that that is their national duty, that that's all that they're supposed to be doing, that it's illegal, that it's criminal, that it's an act of terrorism to stand up to the government, when after they run around clamoring on about their rights and the Constitution, even though they have no clue what it says and have never read it, it states very clearly that when the government becomes too oppressive, that you have a responsibility to rise up and overthrow those administrators.
It is not only your right, but it is your duty to do so.
It is your duty. Yes, it is your duty. I love that in National Treasure.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. It really is. And I know I keep using that word, but that is the only word that that really applies to it. It makes me sick to my stomach. We teach our children that spending is the way to go. We teach our children that going to college is the American dream, that you go to college, you get this degree and spend $50,000 to $100,000 getting this degree is the American dream, so that you can go out and you can get a job then and become part of the corporate mindset, and that this is the American dream. But then they go to college, they spend $50,000 to $100,000, they get their degree and there's no jobs available. The only thing they can do is go work at McDonald's with their BA.
That's right. Or, hey, listen, you know, the government will create a bunch of jobs for you, and then you end up like Winston from 1984 going in there changing the news and manipulating people's perceptions.
There you go.
Hey, listen, there's a governor, you know who Martin O'Malley is? He's a former governor of Maryland.
Yeah.
Okay, the other day he made a statement that I thought was right on point. I really never agree with any politicians or cover political news like this, but I'm going to read you the quote and tell me what you think about it, because it reminds me of what we're talking about tonight, Ira. So it says this, quote, "The presidency of the United States is not some crown to be passed between two families. It is an awesome and sacred trust to be earned and exercised on behalf of the American people." What do you think about that?
I am actually shocked that I have to agree with a politician just like you. That is absolute truth. What we see happening so much now is this whole passing between the different families. We've got coming up right now with this whole new election cycle that's coming up, where we have the illusion of a choice between the douche and the turd, basically, to quote South Park. you have Clinton and Bush are the ones that are supposedly going to be in line for this new election, you know, Jeb Bush and Hillbilly. Okay. Where is this? Where is our choice in this, right? We've got no choice. This is, again, just the monarchy. All this is putting a paint job on the monarchy. It's no different.
Yeah. I remember back, during the McCain, remember McCain ran for president?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I remember several stories in the news in Tampa where there were thousands, and I'm not overestimating or over exaggerating here, thousands of ballots found on the side of the road that were dumped during the election that all were votes for John McCain. Thousands and thousands of them just in the Tampa Bay area in the city that I lived in Florida. I understand, and this is where my solution moment comes in. I understand that it's next to impossible. You have a large country like this to get everybody kind of on the same page and to have a fair system of checks and balances where everything works out. It's too idealistic to think that that's what's going to happen, to think that every ballot's going to get counted properly and that, you know, the real winner's going to emerge. The only time we see or hear about who is the next Republican nominee or the next Democratic nominee is because you're told so on the news. If the news, you know, promoted tomorrow that they found a monkey and the monkey's running for president, you could really get people to believe that. And you could, by the end of at the beginning, you might think, a monkey? Why would they have a chimpanzee running for president? What is this, a joke? It must be April Fool's. And by the end of that news segment, I bet you they've said enough stupid things that you'll start thinking, hey, you know, I think a monkey might be a good thing. I mean, I think we can really use a monkey as a president. People are that brainwashed. I know it's a silly example, but that's how brainwashed people really are. And I mean, how much different is Bush or Clinton from a monkey? I mean, these people, yes, they're somewhat intelligent, but intelligence it's a different kind of intelligence. It's a co-opted intelligence, an intelligence that's been purchased and bought off and paid for. Of course we don't need, you know, you like, are you kidding me? These are the same people. I remember when I saw, because I moved from Florida, but before I moved, it was already campaigns and propaganda about Jeb Bush. And I was talking to Mike D about this, who co-hosts my show once in a while. And the first thing he said to me was, well, what are we living in, a monarchy where you're going to have back to back to back presidents from two separate families?
Yep.
The two bloodline families that you can both trace their origins to the same place. This country's not what you think it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's much, much different. Please, you know, if we're going to vote for somebody, write a name in. It's all the process is already a mockery. Just go along with it. Make sure. A mockery of it.
I like the idea from Richard Pryor where when he did the movie Brewster's Millions, just write in the ballot none of the above. You know,
none of the above. There you go.
And it would work out perfect. I wonder how many people would actually go with that one. Okay, we've got just a few minutes left. Actually, I want to get your take on something, though. I would like to get your opinion. I'm going to pin you down here because okay. I don't know how much you've actually talked about this on your own show. And my cat is coming to bother me. So I'd like to get your thoughts on what you think the Illuminati is, because that all is tied in with the whole New World Order mentality that a lot of people talk about.
Okay, well, how long do I have?
You've got about I can give you 5 minutes if you want 5 minutes.
I can do it in under five, I think. I can do it under four. So here we go. Illuminati. Different forms of the Illuminati. We know that the word Illuminati, it's a word that means enlightened or to be illuminated. We know that this has some significance in relationship to the sun, to the moon, and to the allegories and the mythologies and the anthropomorphizations that are tied in with the different characters, such as the sun god Jesus, Mithras, Abraxas, and all of the rest, Serpentis, and the different gods and goddesses throughout many different cultures and regions. And this all ties in with the mystery schools, being illuminated into knowledge, the priestly class that Ira was mentioning earlier. The Bavarian Illuminati was founded by a man named Adam Weishaupt, who was a German, which, by the way, the Windsor family comes from a region of Germany. They were actually called Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, but during World War I, when they were fighting amongst themselves, they changed the name to Windsor and moved their operation to the UK, where they founded a much larger empire, had a much larger empire prior to, and you see that whole, again, family bloodline connects back to World War I, World War II, and into the present day, but that's a side story. So Bavarian Illuminati, founded 1776 on May 1st, so 2 months before the U.S. supposedly declares this grand moment of independence. May 1st, 1776, the Bavarian Illuminati is formed. Now, this is official history. The main function of the Bavarian Illuminati by a man named Adam Weishaupt is to infiltrate most factions of government and to infiltrate most secret organizations and societies, such as the Order of Free and Accepted Masons. And he did indeed do this. He went into several lodges, and one of the ones he went into, he became a Grand Master Mason basically overnight, which, if you know anything about masonry, that just doesn't happen. So he was able to infiltrate certain groups and certain sects. The Bavarian Illuminati supposedly died out many years later, but there are other forms of the Illuminati. Anybody who is enlightened is technically a member of the Illuminati. I know that might seem strange, that might seem weird, but that's only because of the negative connotation. And the negative connotation, when I say negative, I mean really disappointing, sad. There shouldn't be any type of connotation with the word illumination and Illuminati, but you have too many idiots on YouTube and too many idiots on the internet that make it a problem, Ira. There are other forms of the Illuminati that have absolutely nothing to do with the Bavarian sect, groups that rose to power in Rome that were suppressed by the Roman Catholic Church, groups of doctors, groups of people such as scientists who were disproving the lies, the downright lies and the doctrines of the church. So the church drove a society underground to force them basically to operate in secret, which is where they would become a secret society. There are many forms of the Illuminati, but I can tell you, not that I know what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. It's not Jay-Z on YouTube, okay? And it's not these crazy YouTube and Vimeo videos. It's not your favorite rapper or your favorite musician, you know, doing a performance at the Grammys, or, you know, their next, you know, CD that drops, it comes out brand new, that they've got this symbolism on it. Yeah, there's a little bit of a significance to that, but all of that is used for the public image and to gain attention, to sell more records, to sell more TV shows, movies, whatever the case is. All of that is made up. It's not illumination. It's ignorance,
which is the opposite,
which fits in quite well with the distorted society that we have, isn't it?
You got it. Man, that was great. I love it. I had to pin you down because I hadn't heard an explanation from you before, I think, on your show very much. So I wanted to kind of pin you down and see what you thought.
Yeah, I've done shows on the Illuminati before. What is it?
I said I thought it fit in really well with the topic, considering everybody seems to talk about the Illuminati when it comes to the New World Order and the Old World Order and all of that kind of stuff. So wonderful information tonight, Brian, has been amazing. I love it. It's been great, and I really appreciate you coming on with me.
I enjoyed it too, Ira. You're always welcome back on my show, and in fact, you will be on my show very, very soon talking about neuro-linguistical programming once again.
And I'm definitely looking forward to it. Guys, if you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE091. There probably won't be a whole lot on there because it was just the two of us blabbing back and forth to each other. if you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to our Facebook and Twitter feeds, those are at Ira Robinson and Open Eyes Network. If you want to go to Ryan's website, go to thesecretteachings.info. He has a lot of information that's available on his website. And man, you will spend hours being involved with looking at the things that he has available for you. Go there, please, and learn something. Be educated. Be illuminated.
That's right. Be illuminated.
On Monday, I plan on talking about the subject of Christ versus Christianity and the differences between the two, and it should be a very interesting topic. I think that you guys will get a lot out of it. Remember, this is going to be actually the last show that's played on Spreaker. Starting on Monday, we're going to be doing things on the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week network for LateNightInTheMidlands.com, as well as here on OpenEyesNetwork.com. So, guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun, and thank you so much, as always, for listening.